From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford, a studio here with you today. We will talk a lot of different things going around in the sports world. Your national championship for basketball tonight, Gonzaga and Baylor. After Baylor routed Houston and Gonzaga won a classic against UCLA. Obviously, a lot of Ole Miss topics. Spring football was open on Saturday, as well as baseball losing 2 out of 3 in Gainesville. They return home for a 5-game week and a huge series with Arkansas here starting on Friday at 6 o'clock.
Is it as huge as it was?
I don't know. We'll find out. It's a good question. Speaking of, Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com will join us here in about 30, 35 minutes to talk about what he broke around an hour ago, that the NCAA will pre-select regional and super regional sites. Bids are due here in a week, and they will select them starting May 20th, I believe.
May 10th.
The date on that. So we'll ask Kendall what he thinks about it. Honestly, I've got a couple different thoughts, but I could easily be wrong. We talked to him, but we'll open the show with it here in 1 second.
It certainly makes the SEC tournament completely and utterly meaningless.
Unless you're like Bama, who needs a win to get in or something. Yeah, and for everybody else, just have on at it. So
yeah, I mean,
it is what it is. But anyway, that and more on a show brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go download the SpeedPass Plus app. Use it. Earn some points, because when you earn points, you save money there with the Oxford Exxon and all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. You also save some money with the lunch specials that are $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drinks, and more, as well as the hot case. It's got your pork, your chicken, side items, dessert, and really whatever you want for lunch there at the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right to the bottom line, no hassle, no haggle. Get your quote, and the rest is completely up to you. You can chop it around, or you can do what I've done, but I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the service. You'll love the product. Corey wants to be a car guy, wants to be a truck guy. He'll prove to you what that means when you make the call. 662-257-1900. Guests, including Kendall Rogers, will join us on the Raptors Music and Food Hotline. Raptors Music and Food on the Square in Oxford will be jam-packed this weekend, I suppose, which is a good thing. So go while you're in town for football, and check it out. If you don't have a ticket to the game, you can watch it there at Raptors. Great food, burgers, po'boys, appetizers, great beer selection, full bar, the whole deal there at Raptors Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany. And yes, this is Monday.
It is Monday.
This is April.
This is April.
And this is Monday.
It's a good point. Again, we'll probably hit this really quickly and then come back to it with Kendall here in a bit. But so he reported the NCAA will have predetermined regional and super regional sites in the tournament. Sources tell D1 Baseball the sites, again, will be announced the week of May 10th, bids submitted by April 12th. And then if you're slated to host and your team doesn't make a regional or super regional, you still would host. So, like, if somebody just fell apart and lost 12 in a row or something, you still would have to do that. No decision has been made on seating capacity limits for the postseason. That's kind of where I'm going in a minute as we talk about this.
You guys just don't know what's coming. I've been keeping my mouth shut on this. I've known the NCAA is going to screw this up. Everyone has been under the assumption that in June we're going to have these regionals with just packed houses, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a return to Americana. And I'm like, you guys, man, I hope you're right. But I've watched this organization for a long time.
And again, Kendall might go, no, you're crazy. And I'll let him say that in 30 minutes. But two things that bother me. One, there'll be no minimum financial guarantees, meaning money given to the NCAA, at least in theory from what they say, does not matter.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows? They say that to some extent always, and it does matter. But just throwing that out there that they say no minimum matters.
I'm telling you, this year, I don't think it's going to matter.
And then this one, why is the NCAA doing predetermined sites? And this is what gets me.
Mm-hmm.
Sources tell me, this is Kendall talking, they need 3 weeks to get a site certified from a protocol standpoint, not doable under the existing structure. Okay, let's use a little bit of logic here real quick. Ole Miss is going to have how many people at Saturday's game?
12,000.
12,000. So that's cool. We can do that all day long. But when it's an NCAA tournament game, we need 3 weeks to certify what I'm assuming is safety protocol standards here at one Oxford University Stadium, Swayze Field.
I hope I'm wrong here. I'm betting there's going to be some bureaucratic payback. That
you think they're not giving regionals to states who have opened up?
I do.
You think that cut and dry?
As of today,
sure.
April the 5th, that's what I think.
Now, their problem with that is they come out, or again, come out being Kindle sources, which are inside the office to some extent, is that they will be merit-based, they say, for these decisions.
Sure.
They aren't going to be just site-selected for no reason at all. I guess point being, it defies logic, barring some crazy record change, to eliminate, say, Arkansas and Ole Miss from hosting at that point, if you're going to allow this to be in your protocol, that it is merit-based.
Look, I'm going to openly say this out loud. I don't have any sourcing on this, but I've been around the NCAA for a long time. I don't trust them.
Mm-hmm. No, well,
I know they lean very far to the left. I know that there are a lot of people in there that are angry type of people. And they're going to see pictures from this weekend. I haven't looked at the weather.
It's great.
Okay. They're going to see pictures from this weekend, two top five teams, two top three teams, I guess, whatever the case may be, two really good teams. It's going to be packed.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be having a good time. And there are not going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of masks worn in these pictures.
Or any distance between.
And there will be no distance.
Yeah.
And it is going to infuriate the NCAA.
What I'm expecting, potentially, and you could be exactly right, I don't necessarily think I'm being Pollyanna. I'm expecting a middle ground that might even be worse. Hey, you can host, but you can't put more than 2,500 in attendance.
Oh, it's absolutely a possibility.
That's kind of where I'm leaning on this. As of right now, I don't know. Again, we'll see what Kendall thinks in 30 minutes. He lives in one of these states, too. He lives in Houston.
They do not want – everybody gets mad at me when I do this. Everybody gets so angry, and they get so pissed off. Like, why do you do this? Why are you bringing politics into sports? Like, are you paying attention? Are you watching today? The governor of Texas just said, "Hey, Texas, I'm not going to come throw the ball." The All-Star game just got moved out of Georgia because of politics. So when people go, "Well, you can't bring politics into sports," I'm like, "Well, are you paying attention?" This is not an organization that's going to go, "Yeah, open it up."
What happened with Abbott? What did he do today?
Because of what happened with Georgia, he told Major League Baseball, "I don't feel comfortable throwing out the first pitch. And we don't want the game in our state." Politics are a huge part of sports right now. But here's the thing about these events. The NCAA runs them. You're the host site, but the NCAA runs them.
It's their event.
And so they will absolutely – no question in my mind.
Set different protocols.
Absolutely. They're not going to open it wide open and open the outfield and all that. And they're going to hire people to enforce mask mandates. And so you're going to be sitting out there in 97-degree weather with a piece of fabric over your mask that does nothing against aerosolized viruses outdoors. And,
yes.
And it's going to, pardon my language, it's going to be a shit show because that's what the NCAA does. Look at the tournament. There's no reason that there aren't more people in the building in Indiana. There's no reason. There's no reason that tonight after the game, the NCAA is having to work with Marion County to make sure that it's okay for the Gonzaga players and Baylor players to go hug their families, for
Help
God's
me out.
Sake.
The season's technically over.
That
How do
moment.
They even have... How do you even have a say in that?
I don't know.
The season is literally done.
It's done.
It's over.
Yes.
So if they want to walk out in the parking lot, what damn difference does it make?
I mean, I don't know. What could you do to Mark Few if he walked outside and just started licking light poles tonight? I mean, what difference does it effing make? I'm like done, man. I mean, I'm watching this going, there is no common sense. And what people will tell me in my field is, you're a racist. What I just said, which included nothing about race, I will be labeled a racist. But the idea that they're going to be regionals in Oxford and Starkville and whatnot with 13, 14,000 people hanging off the light poles, I don't see it.
Somebody asking here, yes, the NCAA does make money off regional hosts. You have to guarantee a certain amount of money, and then you keep anything over that amount is how those work.
And so here's the follow-up question as it pertains to money. If you're Ole Miss or Mississippi State or whoever.
You got to know this answer before you put your bid in for your guarantee.
In a year where you've lost a bunch of money, you're going to be limited to 22, 23, 2400 people, and you're going to have to enforce
that.
That's
a completely different bid.
Well, now it's a totally different bid because in the past you make a bid. Here's how this works. You make a bid and you say, hey, you know, we're going to 8,000 people, and then that extra 4,000, that's money in your pocket. You don't get that money now. Now you lose money.
Well, yeah, that's why when official regional attendances are what they are. Come on.
Right, of course.
You're making some cash.
Yeah, when Ole Miss announces 9,200, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you bartended or if you've ever waited tables, you know what I'm talking about here. At the end of the night, when you enter your tips into the computer, you enter $7. Now, did you make $7? Hell no, you made $200.
But seven's going in.
Seven's going in because that other 193 that you got in cash, that's not getting taxed. Come and get me. I'm sure there's a statute of limitations. I would enter $1 every single night, unless it was on Visa or whatever, and then there's nothing you could do about it. But cash tips at a bar, mine. I claimed it. I didn't claim it. I just took it.
I got nothing because I don't know how you put bids in. That's a good point that I have no idea. I've asked some questions. We'll see what I get.
I don't know the answers yet. I mean,
I'm not even really sure they knew it before this morning.
Probably you could have anyway. Keith Carter sitting right here right now, and his honest answer would be, I don't know. We just found this out. I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know.
Yeah, this typically affects SEC, Texas, and ACC schools. That's who it affects.
Sure.
And my guess is Kendall doesn't know. We'll ask him here in
22 minutes.
Why
not play the whole damn thing in Indiana?
Just do it at Butler and Purdue.
I mean, I'm only half kidding. Play it at high school stadiums all over Indiana, I guess. I don't know. Indianapolis has a minor league ballpark.
They do.
Play the whole thing there where you can control it. Make sure nobody licks a light pole.
There's a park in Gary. They played a regional there one time.
I'm keeping in mind, these things don't start till June.
Yeah. June 5th-ish.
Is it dumb? But that's where we are. It's what this thing.
Well, it takes 21 days to certify.
What does that even mean? I mean, what does that even mean? That's a word salad. That's a word salad. It's a pretty salad with no substance. What does it mean?
Iceberg lettuce.
21 days to certify. What the hell does that mean?
They've been playing there all year.
What the hell does that mean? To certify it? What do you mean certify it? What does that mean? That's what I'm telling people, like, oh, man, I'm telling you, this is going to be. No, these guys are a collection of clown shows. That's what they do. I mean, I'll never forget it as long as I live, and you've encountered this too. I'm covering an Auburn-Tulane regional final on a Sunday at Auburn.
Okay.
It's a beautiful day in Auburn. Gorgeous. And all of a sudden, we stop play. And we're like, whoa, 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 what are we doing? There's lightning in the vicinity.
They did this Ole Miss Washington in 14.
Yeah, and I said, where? Well, if there's lightning at the time, it was within 50 miles. We have to stop. Like, it's the summer in the deep south. There's always effing lightning within 15 miles. And so we stopped and we sat there for hours and hours and hours, and they finally just resumed playing. It's like, what are we doing? Like, Auburn and Tulane are sitting in their dugouts looking at each other like, we could finish this hours ago. And so you stop. Both teams had to go to different pitchers and all that stuff. It's just dumb. But these are NCAA events, and they're not going to let common sense run it.
Yeah, Daniel, you got actually a decent point. I would almost guarantee that, too. You're about to see some pod systems in June.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's all going to be regional.
Travel's very risky.
Yeah. Get ready for Tulane and whomever else to be here in the Oxford Regional if Ole Miss gets one.
Sure.
Jackson State, Tulane, and find your two seed, whomever it is, whatever. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't think they would go intra-conference, but who the hell even knows right now?
This is an excuse to do it.
Hey, LSU, you're the two, or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, Mississippi State, you're the two.
Yeah, whatever.
This is an excuse to do it right here.
We'll continue in a second. Before we do, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Leader in condo financing, the float-down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Lamon's Fine Jewelry in Oxford, 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. They've been serving the Oxford area for more than 73 years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, jewelry, watches, pearls, everything. It's all there. It's the gold standard in fine jewelry. Lamon'sFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. We are also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust. They bring more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience to Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Get in touch with them today. Make sure that air conditioning unit's working in tip-top shape. 662-801-1777. Brought to you by the College Corner. It's one-stop Rebel Shop. Two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet and Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's cool. You can go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can visit them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or homegating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day, the largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, they'll sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's pintrust.com, PINNTrust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fees. And you don't need the NCAA's permission to travel this summer. I know you maybe think you do, but you don't. There are great deals to be had out there. And if you want to learn about them, get in touch with my friend John Edwards at Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. Let him give you options. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Actually, on the field, again, a five-game week for Ole Miss. They play UNA at 4 o'clock today, Alcorn State tomorrow at 6:30, and then the Hogs 6-4-1:30, I believe, are the times. I know I'm right about the first two. I don't remember Sunday's time off the top of my head, but nonetheless, 6 on SEC Network, and then the first 4 o'clock start of the season there on Saturday for the Rebels and Razorbacks. Look, Ole Miss lost a series to Florida. Florida's going to win a lot of series in Gainesville. Move on with your day and kind of go from there. I didn't think
Florida and Ole Miss
anything.
Could play each other 20 times, and it would be something like 10-10.
Yeah.
So it was the third game was decided by one run. It was what you would expect from an SEC road series between two.
There was nothing
really good teams.
Hot takey from that whatsoever for me.
Ole Miss was pretty poor defensively on Thursday and lost. Florida was pretty poor defensively on Friday and lost. Saturday they just played an SEC game. Two good teams played an SEC game. The home team won.
6-5.
I mean, seriously, any
There was nothing indicative of anything. Let's put it that way.
No, there's no reason to come out of that going, oh, yeah, we're a lock, yeah. Or, oh, no, we're screwed. No, you're fine. You're exactly where you were going into the weekend. It was a bigger weekend for Florida probably than it was Ole Miss. They needed to get back on the
– Yeah.
And they did. They proved that they're pretty good. They threw a pretty good collection.
They really pitch.
Pretty good collection of arms.
Yeah, they pitch like crazy. I think something I did not realize, you and I have talked about it a pretty good bit. Let me find it. We'll talk a good bit about Arkansas as the week moves on. But, yeah, we've been giving their lineup a lot of credit. And they do from a point of just keep getting at you, as we've talked about. But I found this interesting. It's for Colin Brister. I'll give him credit for looking this up because I probably would have done it. Arkansas versus Power 5 starting pitching this season. I'm talking about 13 games, SEC plus the Big 12 stuff.
Yep.
Their slash line, 203, 289, 383. Pretty poor. They have not hit starting pitching well at all in the Power 5. Now they have torched bullpens, 296, 420, 447, 867 slug.
They have like 10 come-from-behind wins.
Maybe something to point to for Saturday a little bit against Power 5 left-handers, 177, 269, 365.
Yeah.
Really poor against left-handers. They've beaten up right-handed bullpen arms is what Arkansas has done to kind of come back in games. By comparison, Ole Miss hitting 258, so about 50 points higher from a batting average standpoint than Arkansas in those numbers. So, I don't know. They have a deep lineup. They have a lineup that does really run up pitch counts, but they have struggled with early runs, and that frankly that even includes kind of really beating up Mississippi State. So it shows you they've struggled outside of that.
Well, this weekend against Auburn, they
didn't hit at all.
They lost a 2-1 game. They were behind in the mid to late innings on both Friday and Saturday. Came back against Auburn's bullpen and won two games. But they were in real trouble throughout the weekend.
Yeah, Auburn, they were not going to make the postseason anyway, but it had to be a frustrating weekend because, frankly, they had a chance to sweep and they losing 2 out of 3 there in Fayetteville.
But give Arkansas credit for doing exactly what their DNA is, which is they stay at you, they are relentless, they wear you down, they get into your bullpen, and then they expose you. And Auburn's weakness is bullpen. And
it is.
Arkansas got to it and won two games.
So.
Although, I mean, again, not to take the promotion off of the weekend, it's potentially went from a really entertaining and important series to – not very important at all.
Or it becomes even more important if you're Ole Miss, where they're looking for any reason, you might have to stay top five in the country.
To prevent Mississippi State from taking
the region. Or just whatever. Yeah. I mean, State's probably in the same boat too. My point being, even if you can knock out one weekend, say you're Ole Miss and you're ranked 7th, well, the NCAA could easily slip you to 9th and you not get a super regional. Because we're predetermining super regionals too.
Yeah, here's what I'm interested in. If you're like the city of Hoover, you're used to hosting those things, do you put a bid in? On a regional, put a bid in on a super regional. Why would you not? If you want one.
That's true. Nobody said it had to be schools, did it?
I mean, no. Not that I saw. What would stop you from doing that?
I don't know. I don't think that's allowed, but I'm not 100%. I think it has to have a school attached to it as a host. So I think Bama would have to put a bid in for Hoover.
UAB,
but if they're merit-based, you're not getting it, is my point. If that's true. Again, I'm using a lot of quotes today, guys. Because I just don't know. I mean, it's answers we don't have. We don't know how screwy or not screwy this is going to be, other than I think the attendance is going to be a huge issue.
Has the SEC said what they're doing from an attendance standpoint with the tournament?
I've heard nothing about Hoover at all. As we said, Ole Miss and Arkansas 7-2 in the SEC, State 5-4, A&M 3-6, losing a series to Missouri, by the way, over the weekend. Alabama 2-7, LSU 1-8, and Auburn 1-8. Jalen Hill appeared to tear his elbow up over the weekend. They were getting an MRI today. I haven't heard a result of that, but every sign looked to be a pretty serious injury there for the LSU ace. Vanderbilt 8-1 in the league. Tennessee 7-2. Carolina 6-3. Kentucky and Florida 5-4, and then Georgia and Missouri 3-6. So that's your SEC standings. We got Lane Kiffin again tomorrow. Football open on Saturday. Just a viewing. No media ops. But I thought you had an interesting thought in 10 Thoughts discussing that you think they have taken on Lane Kiffin's identity, his DNA a little bit, and even that is something that can be seen from a practice standpoint.
Now keep in mind, it was the first practice I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of laid back. Got their work done. Weren't
He's not a 5-hour kill you guy.
No. They got quick work, got it done. They didn't do all that crazy stuff. Remember I'm going to criticize a former staff or two. They would turn scrimmages into these big deals.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel the intensity. It's like, guys, it's April. What are you doing? You don't play for 5 months. Get your work in. Get on film what you need to get into. Don't tell me about your culture in April. Stop. That's what they did Saturday. They got their work done.
Mm-hmm.
Went in, got some stuff. I'm sure they got it on film. I'm sure they looked at it. I'm sure they saw things they didn't like that they're going to work to improve. Saw things that they piqued their curiosity, their interest, whatnot. But Lane's pretty laid back on the practice field. And team's kind of that way. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think you can be over-intense. Over-intense sets you up for letdowns, too. Because it's impossible to be that. You know, Johnny Tryhard. Remember, everybody had one of those in practice. And after a while, he would just piss you off. Sometimes, you know, using high school football as an analogy, Wednesday night's not Friday night. Chill out. Let's do what we need to do.
Well, because it takes away learning. I mean, you're too, hey, chill. We got to actually think through this a little bit. It needs to be this. Needs to be some muscle memory that goes into this. Look, good teams do this, especially in college. I mean, college football is about coaches almost exclusively. I mean, it really is.
The phone rang, by the way, because it was Zach letting me know that Nysier Brooks, the Miami transfer, apparently has transferred to Ole Miss. So,
what's the story on him?
Big guy, defensive oriented, pretty good rim protector. Not going to give you a whole lot on the offensive end. Was the guy that I referenced a couple weeks ago when I said there's someone that's not in the portal yet that I'm watching to see if he gets into the portal. It was Brooks.
How does that fit for Ole Miss?
Gives him a big. He's your Romello White replacement, and as long as they go get guards, he's a good replacement. Yeah, it's up on the site.
So they have how many more spots?
At least two spots. I think Jamin Brakefield's going to get one of those spots. I think that's basically a done deal. And then they got to go get a guard, though. They're guard short as we jump around. I mean, they need guards. Watch the tournament. You need guards.
What are you expecting tonight?
Kind of think Baylor's going to win.
I have that weird hunch for some reason, and I don't know why.
I expect a pretty good game. They're both really talented teams. Baylor's playing at a really high level right now. That was such an emotional game for Gonzaga the other day. UCLA played their ass off, man.
They played as well as they possibly could have played.
They were relentless.
That's it.
They were relentless.
So I think it's not accurate necessarily to go, hey, look how Gonzaga struggled with an 11 seed. And it was 11 seed that played absolutely their A++++ game. I mean, that's not necessarily indicative. But a lot of emotional energy being used on Gonzaga. I mean, it's a 48-hour turnaround, but it's still a fairly quick turnaround. Baylor hasn't necessarily been tested much in this tournament. And I know Arkansas hung around for a while, but
that's about as close as anybody's come to testing them.
Yeah, I mean,
Arkansas got within four in the second half.
And they're dang good. I mean, they are. I'd like to see Mark Few get his. That program kind of deserves one. It's a neat story with the undefeated season. They're more palatable than Baylor, obviously.
Did you realize he's been at Baylor 18 seasons?
I didn't know. I read that story the other day. Yeah. Now, I couldn't have told you who was before him if it hadn't been that, and there had been somebody else that I couldn't remember, but yes. I did kind of recall that. We're jumping all over the place. I don't know, but more football coming. They'll have another open practice on Saturday. We get some media availability from a Zoom standpoint Tuesday and Thursday there for that. You know, we'd like to go out Saturday. And I'm assuming it will be conducive to the game because the game's at 4 o'clock. So no matter if there's a huge gap in the middle or what, you'll be able to do both if you feel the need for that.
My guess is it will be very similar to what it was this Saturday. Midday.
Yeah. If anything, it will go earlier than that. It will not go later than that. Because I know at one point they were planning on starting at 9 a.m. on last week, and they moved that around a little bit. So
I think for recruits, because I think I saw two recruits get there right about the same time I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So 9 o'clock would not have worked for that. But I mean, it was all about, it's really all about the media, though. We're making sure we were taken care of, make sure we had some access, you know. They moved it around on purpose, so it's all good. We will go to Kendall in 1 second. Before we do that, let me tell you about Northeast Spark. That's NEASPARC.com. They have two packages, the Ignite 100 Mbps or the Blaze, the 1 gig there that powers the Clark Ford Studio, your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, NEASPARC.com. 662-238-3159. Phone services available, as well as parental controls, network security, wireless mesh extender, and more. You can call the office for details. Find out if they are in a location to help you. Again, 662-238-3159.
We are also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well at GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. When you speak directly, when you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5 minutes to wait. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB, FDIC insured. I'll have a mailbag up on Wednesday. It will be brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. And we're brought to you by the law firm of Bain, Moss, and Bowen, located in historic downtown Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. Bain, Moss, and Bowen's the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth, or by calling them at 662-287-1620.
Yeah, I was looking at it as I saw it in the stream. Villanova did lead Baylor for a pretty good bit of the game. Baylor ends up winning by either 9 or 11 in that one, 11, 62-51. They beat Arkansas 81-72. So 9-point win over the Hogs, 11-point win over Villanova, and then routed Houston on Saturday, 78-59. Their last loss was in the Big 12 tournament, 83-74. To Oklahoma State. Their only other loss this year was to Kansas by 12 or 15 points in the regular season. The Bears 27-2, and obviously Gonzaga going for the first unbeaten season since 1976. So there is that. But we'll go to the Rafters Music and Food Hotline now. If you're on our stream, just give us a minute and talk to Kendall Rogers.
Using FaceTime audio, is that right?
I'm sure he'll probably answer it.
Okay.
I didn't tell him one way or the other.
Okay.
It's probably okay.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Kendall, you're live, so just don't say anything crazy. How are you?
I'm good. How's everything over there?
Oh, they're lovely. You know, no questions at all about this. No panic, nothing that would...
I know, right? I mean, we all... The fans in general, like, take everything in stride. You know, they don't overreact. They don't do anything like that.
I see you've been on my message board. See, it's exactly the thought process all the time. That's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, in essence, kind of cutting to the chase here, Chase. In essence, I don't know how much is going to change with this. I think overall, when you look from the NCAA's perspective, here's the deal. There has not been a Division I championship so far this year that has not had predetermined sites. And so, you know, baseball, softball is no different. And so I think at the end of the day, we all kind of should have expected this. I think what's going to be really interesting in the answer that I do not have yet is, so I've talked to some sources who are like, hey, all the host sites can be based on merit. And then some sources saying, well, it's just going to be based on logistics and location and things like that. So it sounds like it's going to be kind of a hybrid approach on hosting. It's not necessarily going to be 100%, hey, is your RP on the top five? It's going to be a little bit of a hybrid approach. So the question in my eyes is kind of like, how hybrid are we talking about here?
Yeah, because here's the question, too. Bids are needed in a week, and I know it said no financial obligations necessarily like usual, but if you're Ole Miss, you could technically bid normally because Mississippi's open. Texas is open. You're obviously from there. You understand that, too. There's going to be 12,000 people for the Arkansas series. How do you bid when you don't even know what the attendance would be should you get a host?
That's a great question. I mean, there's so many questions here. I mean, I was just talking to an athletic director a minute ago, and we were talking about somebody like Louisiana Tech. You know, Lane Burrow's over there, Louisiana Tech. They've got an RPI of, like, what, 11 or 12 right now? What if they get a host in a couple of weeks, or three or four weeks from now? Let's say they get a host, and in Conference USA, there's so many teams with bad RPIs. Let's say they lose two of those series, and all of a sudden their RPI is down to 38 or 40. Well, you've already told them they're hosting in the regional and a super regional. So, I mean, that's the issue I think you kind of run into if you're the NCAA. I think you cross your fingers, hope that doesn't happen, but it's going to happen somewhere.
Do you believe that any time? Well, let's go here first. What do you think this actually means on this certifying protocol stuff? They need 3 weeks. I mean, what's the logistic bottom line to that? Because they're playing regular season games every week. What does that actually mean in your opinion?
It's called a CYA, boys. It's a cover your ass. I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably not needed. But you know, as we've seen the last couple of weeks. The NCAA does not want bad press, and anything that could go wrong at a site, they want to make sure that can't possibly go wrong. Because if it does, guess, you know, he's either A, getting sued, or B, he's getting blamed. It's going to be the NCAA. So I don't think you need 3 weeks to get ready to host a regional, personally, considering you've got staffs at Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and schools like that that are turning this around in like 4 or 5 days. But, I mean, that's what they're doing, and that's what they've kind of done with every other sport.
Do you think Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas are in any type of disadvantage given the openness and the politics in the states?
No, not at all. I mean, I think when you look at those three schools, I mean, I think if you're Ole Miss State and you're Texas, like, man, you're like doing cartwheels down the street right now because, like, it may not even matter what you do the last 3 weeks. Like, you're still hosting potentially both rounds of the postseason. Like, you legitimately could, if you're Ole Miss, there's what? There'd be two series after it's announced, after the sites are announced, I think, or is it one? I'd have to look at the schedule.
It's two.
But I think it's two. Well, I mean, you could conceivably not do anything, you know, lose both those series, do nothing in Hoover, and oh, by the way, like, you could still be at Swayze the entire postseason until Omaha.
So what type of school do you think is potentially at a disadvantage here? With this rule?
It's the schools that go on a run late. There have been plenty of instances over the years where there's been schools that have, you know, played really well in May, go off to the conference tournament, go on a big, big run, and all of a sudden they're hosting. Was it West Virginia last year? Or was it, I think back to 2019. West Virginia that year played really well down the stretch. They played well in the Big 12 tournament. You know, they ended up hosting A&M in Morgantown, along with, I think it was Duke and Fordham. And so that's a prime example of a school that hadn't hosted before. They got hot at the end of the year, and they ended up hosting. So these schools that have ground to make up, they pretty much have no shot to host right now. Like, they're just not going to make up enough ground. You know, the Big Ten teams, you know, we talked about, you know, the RPIs and some in the Big Ten. Like, what are they going to do with the you know, these Big Ten teams that have RPIs in the 30s and 40s right now that, you know, you look at them on the surface and they're not in hosting range. You know, Ohio State, RPI 47. Michigan, we all like Michigan. They're a top 25 team, but they're not playing non-conference games. Their RPI is 64. So, like, do you really give a Big Ten team a host site when their RPI is in the 60s? I mean, we'll find out.
If they go hybrid on this like crazy, you talk about location and logistics, what would that potentially look like in your opinion?
If they go hybrid, I think the hybrid honestly opens a door for the Big Ten because what they could say is, hey, listen, like, it's not Michigan's fault. They didn't get to play non-conference games. You know, it's a location that is advantageous for Midwestern teams. We're going to give Michigan a host even though their RPI is at 60. They're going to be the 3 seed in Ann Arbor. And – I don't know. Let's say Virginia Tech goes there as the 1 seed. So I think the Big Ten is really, I think, where this hybrid comes into play big time.
Kendall, I know you don't know the answer to this. I'm asking for an opinion. So Ole Miss and Arkansas play this weekend. They're going to put they're going to put 13,000. Forget the baseball for a minute. I'm talking about the fans. They're going to put 13,000 people in the stadium, essentially.
Yeah.
It's not going to be socially distanced. The weather's supposed to be spectacular. You've been here for these kinds of weekends. There'll be tons of kids out in the outfield throwing beer up in the air and having a good time. And there's going to be families out in left field that you could stop time at any particular moment and say, "What's the score?" And they'd say, "I have no idea. I'm enjoying normal. Yeah. I'm enjoying normalcy." They're gonna be lots of pictures of those people. They're not going to be wearing masks. They're not going to be socially distanced. Is that going to be something that that works against a school, in your opinion?
No, because at the end of the day, it's the postseason's about making money. And if the NCAA feels like they can make a lot of money at Ole Miss, I don't think they're going anywhere.
What will they do?
I mean, let's be honest. That's what the postseason's about.
So here's my next question. They're doing this deal in Indianapolis, and I realize these are indoor venues, but, you know, it's 20% or 25%. They've obviously left tons of money, gate money, on the table. Baseball's a different sport because you don't have – The TV contract's nowhere near as lucrative as the NCAA basketball TV contract, obviously. Mm-hmm. Do they still go through with all of the social distancing stuff and all these in the venues, or is the NCAA capable of sort of turning a blind eye and going, "Let's make our money"?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that's a fascinating question. I mean, for instance, if NCAA is looking at data in Oxford and they're showing, like, that, there, you know, let's face it, if you have 14,000 people or 13,000 people at a game, whether it's Oxford or Stark Vegas, if COVID is an issue at the ballpark, like, it's going to show up in the numbers at some point, because that's a lot of people to be in one spot. And so I do think there is a situation to where if the NCAA is looking in these counties and everything is continuing to go down, there's no sign at all of this being an issue. I mean, like, I don't want to speak for the NCAA, but I could kind of see them kind of turning a blind eye. It's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like I think back, like, A&M in Florida in football last year. I don't know if you guys remember that game, but, you know, the SEC had the 25% capacity rule. Well, basically what A&M did is just open the student gates, let students go in, and just, like, act like they didn't see it or something. And they probably had, like, 65,000 people there. So, like, at the end of the day, the school can do whatever the heck it wants. I mean, somebody's going to have to stop them. And I just wonder if the NCAA is actually going to stop somebody in a outdoor sport in the middle of the summer, you know, where there's a very, very low risk of transmission.
Ole Miss Vanderbilt is after the deadline, so that's a series that wouldn't matter at all.
Yeah, right.
So, whatever. It's all good.
That might end up determining number one overall national seed.
So, do you expect more of a pod system, though, because of all this? Do you expect the two seeds and three seeds coming from closer to home, maybe even more than they usually do from a regional standpoint? I mean, will the overall bracket be a little different because of some of these things?
I'm glad you asked that. You know, I just talked to the NCAA just a little bit ago, and they did not expect anything to change in that regard. So, like, the way they're setting up the regionals, they do not expect any difference.
That's probably a good sign, then, like, a continued good sign for all the power teams as they're trying to host, I would think.
Oh,
otherwise,
yeah,
that would throw
some. Oh, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's what, I think it's 350, 375 miles. They like to have the radius of every team in the regional. Clearly, there's plenty of opportunities where they don't have that ability. But the status quo with that, to me, makes a lot of sense. And at the end of the day, I mean, this change isn't that crazy. I mean, at first glance, when I got the text this morning, I'm thinking, like, oh gosh, like, this is going to be a disaster. But then you start to think about it, and it's like, it's, you know, for a team like Ole Miss, like, there's really not much difference. Like, they were going to host regardless, unless they just totally tanked in the year, which I don't think was going to happen.
You mentioned Louisiana Tech. I'm kind of curious, if you're them, they're like, I don't know where they are in all the rankings. I haven't looked at, but I think they're 16-ish, 17-ish somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked at it this morning. I apologize. But they're sort of in that bubble. If you're them, do you make a big offer? Do you make a big bid? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, if you're in Louisiana, here's where Louisiana Tech certainly has a huge advantage. Is with LSU being bad, like, they have a great chance to host, because the committee likes having regionals in the state of Louisiana. People in that state are really passionate about college baseball. People at Louisiana Tech, as Ole Miss saw, out in the outfield there at Louisiana Tech. They really love college baseball. So if you're Louisiana Tech, man, like if I'm those guys, I'm getting crazy aggressive when it comes to hosting here in the getting that bid here in the next week, because I'm not taking chances with that remaining schedule. Like I'm getting my host locked up and moving on.
Couple last things. I appreciate the time on a quick notice today. Ole Miss and Arkansas. What do you expect this weekend?
That's going to be really interesting. You know, I look at Ole Miss, and I get it. Like, a lot of people are actually kind of on us this morning because we didn't drop Ole Miss at all. But you know what? They go on the road. They lose a really hard-fought series to a Florida team who, frankly, has just underachieved all year long. I think Florida, as we saw over the weekend, is a lot better than that at times. I think when you look at the series overall, I think it just kind of depends on, like, which Arkansas shows up a little bit. You know, when I saw Arkansas at Globe Life, I mean – I was thinking, like, okay, this is the best team I'm going to see this year. Well, that was until I saw Vandy last weekend. They're ridiculous. But, you know, I think when you look at Arkansas, they tend to play really well away from home. Once they get home, I don't know if it's just they get a little bit of a comfort zone or what. But, like, the offense just doesn't produce at that kind of level. So, you know, I think it's a total toss-up. I think Ole Miss is going to play really well. And I think Arkansas, as we've seen lately, they play really well on the road too. So, it's going to be a hard-fought series. I will say this. I don't think they're going to go into Oxford and do what they did to Mississippi State. I have some pretty big question marks about Mississippi State's offense right now.
Speaking of that, I mean, you think they're the team that could slide kind of down? I mean, could Tennessee end up a bigger host possibility out of the league?
I think Tennessee is one of those teams that ends up getting screwed. I honestly do. I just think when you look at the SEC right now, if you look at this league in its current status, so you've got Vanderbilt, you've got Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State is all teams that, for my money, are just total slam dunks to host. You've got South Carolina, who's sitting with a 4 RPI right now. Their AD, Ray Tanner, was on the committee last year. I think they've got a pretty good shot to host right now. And so you just kind of wonder, as we're having this hybrid approach, like, I don't think they're just going to stack a ton of regionals in the SEC. So if that happens, like, somebody's going to have to be the odd team out. And you just kind of wonder if that's a Tennessee, especially with Florida. If Florida State or Miami are potentially not in position to host, like, that would all of a sudden push Florida into there as well. So I just think Tennessee, geographically, facilities-wise, fans-wise, they're in a tough spot for me when it comes to hosting.
Two quick hit things. Is Childers in trouble at A&M?
I would put the trouble meter at like a 9.5 out of 10.
Ooh,
that bad, huh?
So what's Mineri's?
Well, you know, Paul's really, really interesting. That is a fascinating situation. You know, I think at the least, I think they'll make a move at pitching coach. I just think when you look at the lack of production, you know, I think back at all these guys, and I don't mean to ramble here, but I think back, and I was having this discussion with somebody over the weekend at Baton Rouge. When you look at LSU pitching, Alex Lane, guys, he was better day one than he was his final day in purple and gold. Mm-hmm. Zach Hess, he was his best in Omaha as a freshman, only regressed his final 2 years in Baton Rouge. People point to Kevin Gausman as a guy who got much better under Alan Dunn. But, you know, Kevin Gausman would have been a first-round pick if he was deemed a little bit signable. And so I just think, as you know, Jaden Hill's another example, mm-hmm. has only gotten worse. And so I just think when you look at LSU, they recruit top five classes every year. Nolan Kane does a really nice job there. But where is their issue? I think it's on the mound. They just do not get better on the mound at all.
Jack Leiter's the best college pitcher since who?
I am not joking here. I'm going to say he's the best I've ever seen. He's that good. I mean,
yeah,
he's
a monster.
Crazy good.
So no doubt, I mean, for you, you would take Leiter over Rocker?
No doubt. Okay. No doubt. I hate to say it because I love Kumar. I love the passion he pitches with. I will say this. Leiter's got a really nice curveball. He's got a really nice slider. The thing that puts him over the top for me is his maturity and demeanor. Like, he is a big league starter playing college baseball.
I think
back to one situation over the weekend. He threw two sliders, guys, on the outside corner that, I mean, it might have been a half inch off the plate, and didn't get mad, just kind of like shrugged his shoulders like, oh, okay. The next pitch, slider, same damn spot. It's about 2 inches closer to the plate. punch out, the inning's over. So things like that, the fastball, the thing about Jack Leiter's fastball, his ability to get so many guys out with it, is he's not a tall guy, he's 6 foot tall. So what happens is that that fastball's coming at you from not from a shorter angle and a lower angle, and that thing just jumps on you. So it, when he's throwing 97, it looks like he's throwing 100. He is just so impressive, and I know you guys will see him in a few weeks, but he's the most impressive college pitcher I've ever seen. Like, I just sat back there just like, I mean, it was like I was watching a number two or number three starter in the big leagues.
He doesn't waste pitches. He's relentless. Every you don't get a break in the
I mean, I kept like having to write really sloppy notes. Like, I can't even read my own handwriting because he works so fast. And I love it, by the way.
I do too.
But he works so fast, I didn't even have time to write notes.
But you know what I mean, Kendall? Like, a lot of times, especially in the college game,
yeah,
you'll see a hitter fall down 0-2, and you can almost – and sometimes you see it in the bigs, too. You'll see a hitter fall down 0-2, and you can almost get inside his ears for a minute and him thinking, all right, I've got to pitch. This at-bat's not going the way I wanted it to go, but I've got a pitch here that he's going to waste, and I'm going to lay off, and I've got a minute to get my thoughts in order and to think about what's coming 1-2. Not this kid. Every once in a while, he'll waste one just to make you think that maybe that's in the cards. But he's just as apt to come at you 0-2. You don't get a mental breath.
No, there's not. And I'll point back to the LSU series over the weekend, just kind of give you an idea of how good this guy is. LSU did not get a hit till the fifth inning. And when they finally got a hit, the dude got a standing ovation. Like, that's how impressive he was. That, like, those people, of all people, are giving you a standing ovation because, oh, by the way, you finally gave up a hit after 20 SEC innings.
Yeah, last thing, I'm completely letting you go here, though. LSU, the math is going to get them. They're 1-8. But how bad is this going to go for the Tigers? I mean, what do you think here? Do they have any kind of find of ability here, or is it just going to be rough all year?
I was a little encouraged they did play better in the series finale against Vanderbilt, but, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, they looked awful the first two games. Like, they were bad defensively. Their approach to the plate just wasn't great. You know, I thought against Leiter, you know, I was telling somebody on the radio show over there last week, against Leiter, like, you've got to get him out of, you know, you just mentioned it about him being so zoned in. You've got to get him out of that zone. And what do you do that if you're Ole Miss or whoever down the stretch? You know, use the short ball game a little bit, bunt a little bit. Try to get him to move side to side. Get him out of his routine. And like LSU tried that once, the guy almost took a ball to the face. He ended up bunting the ball and getting an error and getting on base. But they just were not very good at executing anything. Their pitching was subpar. It was the worst LSU team I've seen.
I know you got a chat to get to. Appreciate the time, bud. Let's talk soon.
You got it, guys. Y'all hang in there. Thank you.
See you, Kendall.
That's Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com. We'll talk about what he said a little bit and some more things in the show in a second. Before that, I'll tell you about Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area. They also offer MedSync to fill your prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you. And with Right Way Meds, they'll individually package those medications to potentially save a life for those who need that extra step. So, again, in Holly Springs on the Square or South Lamar in Oxford, that's 662-236-2222.
Also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. They're your trailer-specific professionals. If you want to haul it, they can call it Premium Trailer Dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail, which is the premium brand trailer, the highest quality utility equipment dump and gooseneck trailer being built today. They also have Hallmark Cargo Trailers, one of the most quality cargo trailers on the market, perfect for hauling goods to markets and shows, ATVs to deer camps, hauling race cars and more. They've got a full service shop as well. They can do repairs on all types of trailers. So give them a call, 601-932-9798, or check them out at alphaofms.com. Also brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. They make the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they're uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi, one size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Double Decker may not be happening in Oxford this spring, but Blue Delta is happy to present the Blue Delta Blues Alley on April 23rd, 24th. A couple of weeks, the weekend of the LSU home baseball series and the Grove Bowl. Friday night, Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will play from 4 to 6, and 6 to 8 will be Grammy Award-nominated Jimmy Duck Holmes, the proprietor of Blue Front Cafe, the oldest surviving juke joint in Mississippi. Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will be back on Saturday the 24th for an afternoon of music, so come out to the Blue Delta Studio, have a good time celebrating Oxford and Rebel Grove. Listeners, subscribers can redeem 10% off using promo code Rebel Grove in the Oxford Studio. Amber brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand select pieces from top designers, from work to night lifestyle to nightlife. There's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or at therogue.com. And we're brought to you by Joey Erickson at Heron Gear Chevrolet. Let Joey help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevy vehicles or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. Give Joey a call or a text at his cell, 662-571-2367, and tell him what you're looking for. Stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson to test drive that new or used vehicle you've been wanting. Let him earn your business. With any purchased vehicle, just mention the Oxford Exxon podcast or the Soft Verbal podcast. You get a $50 gas card.
Tip tonight for Gonzaga and Baylor, 8:20 Central Time. I think you make the end of that one. That's pretty compelling, right?
It'll have to be a good game.
Gonzaga favored by 4.5 right now is the line on that one.
Yeah, I'd probably like Baylor in the points from a betting standpoint.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. Another lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson, now up to 22. Just kind of running through some different headlines. It's a large number.
What are you doing with that many masseuse people?
Just having that many in general.
Yeah, I mean,
they're all willing to file.
Yeah, but here's my thing, right? Okay. I'm not passing judgment. I'm really not, but I am asking from a common sense standpoint.
Okay.
I'm a professional quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worth millions of dollars.
You are.
My body is a commodity for me. It may be the commodity
for me. It is
the
commodity.
I'm taking care of my body. I'm hiring a nutritionist. I probably have a personal trainer. And I probably, because massage is a big part of therapy for professional athletes, I'm thinking, and I'm being serious here.
No.
I'm finding a masseuse, male, female, whatever, who understands my body, can help me recover and prepare for competition, for training, and that's who I'm sticking with. I want someone who knows about that spot in my hamstring, who knows about that spot in my knee, who knows about that toe issue that I have, someone who's aware of the shoulder issue that I've had, someone who, when he or she works on my body, we're doing it in such a way that, I mean, I'm being totally serious here.
No, I get it.
This is going to make me sleep better, or this is going to make me better prepared for my training. This is going to make me better prepared for practice. Ultimately, this is going to make me better prepared for Sunday against the Colts. If I'm going to 22 at least people.
Are they spread around the country, or are they mostly all localized into one area? I don't know. You know, your point doesn't change. I'm
most of them are in the Houston area, which strikes me as so stunningly odd.
Yes. 22.
I mean, it's why I'm beginning to believe.
Well, yeah, there's a sheer number involved.
I'm beginning to believe the women that this is a guy that this is his fetish. And now they're just coming out of the woodwork. At first, I was like, I don't know, man. It's kind of feels like a setup job. And now the numbers are beginning to overwhelm me. And again, I think there's still a presumption of innocence here.
Sure.
But I have issues. And if I'm a team thinking about trading for Deshaun, no.
I'm done.
Now when the Texans call me, it's, wait, who is this? Houston? Click.
Yeah. No chance.
No can do. I'd rather have Andy Dalton right now.
I think that was Billy Chappell's only masseuse. I think he had multiple ones or that.
Well, he said she's just a friend, and she's his masseuse.
I know. Is she it?
I'm gonna tell you.
I just see it in spring training.
That was a moment in the movie where Kelly Preston's character really needed you. He had just called you and invited you to Florida, and you said no.
She came though.
You said, no, I'm not coming. So, of course, he goes, out of hell with it. I'm calling my masseuse.
You're blaming Kelly for that one.
Well, I'm not blaming her for it, but she had no right to get that upset.
What's her name in the movie?
Why can't I think of it right now?
I've only seen it 7,000 times. Jane.
Jane.
Yeah.
Jane's completely off her rocker to damn near run over him out in the parking lot.
Which, that would have been a problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's like, you know, she was totally in the wrong.
Do you blame him for his insistence on needing the trainer, not her, when he cut his hand up? You know, because he hurt her feelings right there. Hey, yeah. Mike's the only one that can help me right now.
But he was right.
Yeah.
His pitching career is literally
hanging on a
piece of flesh. She can't help him right now with some feelings. He needs somebody.
She did what she needed. She got him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then yelled at a bunch of nurses.
He needed the doctors to put his hand back together so that he could pitch again. And then she was completely wrong in Florida when he had a meltdown about, I can't feel the ball. Yeah. When he's like, the pitching coach is like, you know, just feel the seams. And he's like, I can't feel the ball. Of course he's freaked out.
And she's like, where are we getting dinner tonight?
Yeah, and she's like, do you like this perfume? I mean, just, God. It's like Pam in The Office. When Jim lands the big gig, that was his idea, and he lands the big gig in
you don't like Pam.
She redeemed
herself. I'm sorry, athletic trainer. You're right. I apologize.
She redeemed herself at the end a little bit. But no,
she annoyed you for seasons.
Those two seasons, yeah, for sure. Where he's going out and he's doing a good thing, and he's got the job in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're sitting down with Ryan Howard at the time. He's like MVP at the time. And you're like, no, I like our job in Scranton, where you're essentially a paper boy playing pranks on Dwight Schrute all day long. I prefer that. How selfish.
Neil just has something against redheads, really what it is. It's
I married a redhead, basically.
Whatever. Renee Russo was much better. You know, she played the better character in Tin Cup than Kelly Preston did in For Love of the Game.
I mean,
he had a type in his sports movies.
And he told her he didn't like it when she used the word groupie, and she kept using it.
Oh, he did hate that.
Yeah. He said, I'm not a groupie. And he's like, I didn't treat you like a groupie. Chill out.
She didn't even show up at the end.
No, and she didn't. Hey, she didn't show up that night in New York at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
He sat there for a couple hours by himself.
Man, he was walking out.
Most ace major league pitchers would have been like, see ya.
5 minutes. And
I'm going to call up a groupie.
Maybe we're breaking down some plot holes in this movie the longer we go. Maybe it's not the perfect cinematic masterpiece that we had previously encountered with the. I know enough, Drew, to play along. Yeah, I have not watched every episode, but I know enough of the plot points. I can go here.
I'm not the only person that was bothered by Pam. I can't be.
Kelly Preston over Renee Russo. Her Jerry Maguire character.
Oh. Yeah, Kelly Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good questions there. All right. Let's see. Ole Miss again, baseball, 4 o'clock today, UNA. Maybe they've announced who they're pitching now. I have no idea. I tried to look earlier and they were pretty slow with the notes. I would assume it's 2 days of very careful
Johnny pitching. Holstaff.
I don't see how you can use up an arm prior to Friday. Yeah, I think it's a lot of that. Josh Mallett's getting the start today for the Rebels. They'll let it go as far as he can. And then some right-hander for UNA that has a 9.82 ERA.
Where, frankly, you count on your offense to get you 16 runs so that it really doesn't matter.
Throw whomever and call it a day.
Let's just win. If you win 16-9, so be it.
Set your pitching for the weekend, whatever needs to happen over the course of the next 18 innings. So thanks for Kendall for jumping on there for short notice.
Why is JM's mad at us? He wants a refund. He's
It didn't pop up because he called us morons.
Oh, okay.
He says we're both morons. Why are we morons?
Because he's Renee all day.
Oh, he's Team Renee?
Yeah. I mean, I have no problems. I'm good.
Really annoying in Jerry Maguire.
No, that's Kelly Preston.
Oh, that is Kelly Preston.
Yeah, I was saying just from an attraction standpoint. Oh. Her character there. No, Renee Russo is his girlfriend in Tin Cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kelly Preston, I forgot that. Kelly Preston's in Jerry Maguire also?
Yeah, she's Avery. Isn't Avery in their name?
The one who leaves?
The one that punches him?
Yeah.
The girlfriend, the one he was going to propose to in Hawaii during the Pro Bowl whole deal.
Yeah.
That's Kelly Preston.
Okay.
Yeah. No, not. Rene Russo is like, Rene Russo is Major League, though. She's Jake Taylor's person in Major League.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm that good at remembering who's who.
They sort of kind of blend together, kind of.
So she was the professional swimmer in Major League?
That is correct, yes.
The writing in Major League was really good, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was stellar. The envelope, please. All right, basketball tonight, Gonzaga and Baylor, baseball five times this week prior to, anyway. All right, appreciate everybody in the live stream. Be safe. Have a good day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.